Hello, beautiful soul. Emily Alexina here again with you today. I have some more I want to add regarding my pregnancy experience. And this will also lead into work that I'm interested in doing with pregnant women. I feel like pregnancy is such a potent time for release and transformation for a woman, and how much she is willing to let go and grow and transform in her pregnancy will greatly influence her entire family, her partner, her children, her close family, and also further her community. But first, I'm going to share that some big changes happening in our lives regarding our children. I can't remember if I already shared this on the podcast, but we have decided that my girls are going to school for the last 2 weeks of school. We found a local French Catholic school that we are thinking of sending them to in September, and we thought it could be a great idea to just enjoy the fun time of the last 2 weeks of school in June when the weather's really nice. And so far it's going pretty well. There are some things about school that we don't like, and it's actually going better than I thought. Even the morning routine, we wake up, everyone's in a good mood. So I will be sharing more on that in the podcast coming soon. I wanted to kind of put a teaser out, but that is why I have more time to podcast, to create, to put a lot of energy into my work in the next 2 weeks. So I did create a website. It's still kind of in its early stages, but it is published. I invite you to go check it out, emilyalexina.com. There will be more coming there. I have been asking in my prayers to Creator, to Divine Source, to Divine Father, Mother, what is it that I have to offer people? What can I offer? And also, importantly, what can I offer that people will want to pay me for, that is valuable, that they would want to exchange money for? And in our lives, both my husband and I, we can be quite stubborn. It has been, you know, a no for a very long time to many things. No, I don't want to go get a corporate job. No, I don't want to work in a bank. No, I don't want to be a teacher, even though I love teaching children. No, I don't want to be in the system. And it has been a constant prayer for the right guidance to do work that fulfills me. My prayer is that we can both do work that fulfills us, that we love, that brings us joy, that when we do it, it is good for the whole family, it is good for our children. And of course, that can bring in enough money flow to create a life that we want, to create health for our children, to be able to afford the best food that we can afford, to eventually be able to buy a farm property so that we can grow our own food. And also, I'm very interested in hiring people and having like a team of people that work with me and being a leader, really like a good leader of a good company. That's something that I feel very interested in. So I like putting these little tidbits out there because you might be listening to this now. It's 2023 in June, just before the summer solstice. And you might follow my journey and see where I go in the next 2 or 3 years, because I'm feeling this blooming, just like the flowers are all blooming now. And it's going to be very exciting. So stay tuned. So regarding what I wanted to share today, I'm going to kind of list things out. I wrote things down on a piece of paper. I'm learning how to podcast better and be more clear. So thank you for your patience as I learn how to do this better. I want to talk about self-responsibility in pregnancy and in free birth. And of course, this applies to all other types of births. We'll get to that. The emotional work of pregnancy. Pregnancy as a detox, cleanse, and transformation for the woman. Moon charting in a pregnancy and the emotional waves influenced by the moon's phases. feelings of abandonment in pregnancy, and especially during COVID times. Boundaries, setting up boundaries with close people. Navigating my relationship with my mother and expectations of help from others. Leaning into the choice of free birth and the fears that can be around that. And also hosting my own blessing way. So I now have 43 minutes to share on these different topics. So about the emotional work of pregnancy. I'm an emotional person. I'm a woman, right? And I do notice that my emotions are very much influenced by the moon phases and also by my hormonal changes. And it's interesting speaking from the other side of pregnancy because I'm almost now a year out from the birth of my son, and I haven't had my moon bleed back yet. I haven't had my period, my menses. And so it's been quite stable. I've actually been the most emotionally stable in these past few months than possibly ever in my life, even while being sleep deprived, which is interesting. Although coffee is definitely not a super great thing for me. I find when I have coffee, and especially in postpartum, for you mamas listening, this might not apply to everyone, but for me, it gives me too much energy that's a bit frazzled, and I overdo it. And then when I overdo it, that's when I get tired and I kind of crash and have an emotional crash, just a physical tiredness crash. And if I don't take coffee, I don't have like that high of the coffee, but it's more stable. I find my mind is more stable and my actions and decisions are more aligned with kind of an inner stability. And I learned in my pregnancy to really release all the emotions, to feel them and cry them out, not necessarily to put them onto someone else. And so I find in our world we have, we're always encouraged to reach out to others when we need help, when we're feeling emotional, if we're feeling sad. Oh, talk to someone. You know, if you're depressed, talk to someone. Go find a therapist or talk to a friend. And what I'm finding in my own life is that I need to take a lot more self-responsibility for my own emotions and my own emotional world. And also that most people don't have the energy to hold space. I have some really beautiful friends who can hold space. And most people in my community that I love dearly either have too much going on or it's just not really in their nature to hold space well. And I don't know if anyone's ever felt this, when you try to share something that's really important and weighing heavy on your heart and the other person just kind of changes the conversation or doesn't really listen, it can almost make it worse sometimes, can't it? And that's a learning thing for that's something that I've really learned mostly in the past year. I think this whole theme of this pregnancy, and I do believe that every kind of birth and pregnancy and even child has a theme when they come into our world, into our family, into our mothering, there is a theme around that child, around that pregnancy. So with my first, for example, her whole theme is radical transformation. She's a Scorpio. She's born in November. And her whole pregnancy, I feel like life just got flipped over on its head. My dreams were all about travel and water and getting on planes and being on trains. And so it's like this, like moving from one state of being to another state of being is how I interpret it now. And with my second, the theme was about joy and relaxing into accepting help. We were living with my in-laws at the time, and it was hard to just, you know, think that we moved back with them for our second child, you know, when the idea out there in culture is that we should be able to support ourselves, especially when we're having children. And with Theo's pregnancy, there was a great overlying theme of self-responsibility, of creation, of energy. And if anyone here is into human design, I am a projector, and my daughters are also projectors, and Theo is a manigen, so a manifesting generator. And I'm not too deep into human design, but I do find it interesting that now that he has come in, there's also this sense of business. Even when I was pregnant with him, I kept having thoughts like, it would be fun to have a business. It would be fun to start playing with money. It would be fun to create a team. I was, you know, watching these different people online that I admire and being attracted to people who are doing these things and also inspired and feeling like, I think I can do this and I think I would enjoy this. A big part of one of my commitments is to follow my joy. And it was feeling joyful. And that was a very new thing for me. And I don't know if he's going to end up being, you know, more of a businessman of some kind. I don't know. I'm very curious to see. But there's this overlying theme of what has changed in the past 2 years or past year. 2 years, I guess, because like 9 months of pregnancy and 1 year of postpartum of him being here. And so the emotional work of pregnancy is to, when those waves come up with the hormonal changes, that they are a gift, that when we have these feelings and these tears are healers, to let them flow out, to feel the whole thing in the body. It was, I'm actually sitting in my room near my bed where I was curled up in a ball, so much tension, in my body, with like my heart feeling like it was breaking open and spilling open. I had, you know, a lot of emotional times in my teenage years and in my childhood with my parents' divorce. And I've spent a lot of time looking back on that, trying to heal it, trying to let it go, heal myself. And in the pregnancy, it was almost like I was diving into like very deep layers of my physical being, of my heart, of my beliefs, and like letting it just pour out of me, just pour out of me. And over the years, with kind of my spiritual seeking and self work and self-development, self-study, I have come to really appreciate and come to gratitude for every single thing in my life. I'm connecting to God and Source, and seeing every single aspect of my life, every single relationship, every single challenge, every single conflict as a gift for growth and to be closer to Source, closer to my highest possible expression, closer to my best alignment with Divine Mother, Divine Father. That is the highest priority in my life. And so this emotional work brings me closer to that. And so for that, I'm grateful. When there's like a wave and a release, I come to gratitude. And of course, I can hold deep feelings of abandonment and also an underlying sense of gratitude, that feeling the abandonment fully and releasing it will be beneficial for myself and then how I show up in the world, and therefore for anyone who comes around me. And the feelings of abandonment were very strong, because in Theo's pregnancy was when the vaccine mandates came into place and the passports. And I was uninvited from Christmas dinner at my dad's house, and trying to reach out and talk to him was very tricky. With my mom, she has a lot of her own stories about, you know, what people need to be doing to support their family and what's the right way to live, as many of us hold in our minds, don't we? And she holds a lot of discomfort regarding our situation. So we do live still in my in-laws' home. They have a second home now that they purchased, and we are infinitely grateful to be living in Collingwood in their home. And this allows us to do the work that we want to do, to have some extra financial freedom a little bit, and also to take care of our children and raise our children in the way that we actually want. But for my mom, this has been a challenge for her to witness and to accept. And I now hold that with much love, because I can see what I'm doing in her inner worlds, and it's hard. It's hard. And so at that time, it was very intense, especially with COVID. I also had a lot of stories that my family didn't understand me, that they don't really feel for us. You know, they were kind of going out to movies and talking about it in our groups, and when we were not allowed, and it was a crazy feeling to hold. And pregnancy just made that 1,000 times, because you're just more emotional. And also because of my choice to free birth, I kind of assumed that people wouldn't be accepting. And so I didn't tell my family outright about my choices, but they follow me on social media. And so they had a feeling. I did tell my sister, one of my close sisters, and she kind of passed it on. So my family was aware, but they're kind of like, I think they think like, oh, Emily's just doing her crazy things and we just have to hang tight and hope it works out kind of thing, and not wanting to get too close, not really getting curious. And I, again, hold that with a lot of love, the whole situation. It's really intense in the family. And for a long time, I tried to not make crazy decisions so that I didn't challenge people. But I think it's part of my job on earth. And I'm coming into more responsibility in that. I'm coming into more love with that, and more kind of love and acceptance and compassion for the people that I am challenging. So that kind of meant that I was really retreating back. That was another theme with Theo's birth, was kind of this like retreating back. And I'm so a bright kind of Leo type personality. I love being in a community. I love being around people. I love my family. I love family. Family is very important to me. So holding this love for family and also this need to be me that challenges family was very tricky. And Theo is a Cancer, right? So I find that interesting. This like Cancerian energy was kind of coming in of the retreat, of the building up a shell, of the doing what's best to protect, you know, their close people. And so for me, that was me and my baby and my children and my family and the children I was working with in the school. I think I lost my train of thought there. Oh, this feeling of retreat. And so because I was retreating, I felt abandoned. I was kind of pulling back from people in protection, and at the same time being sad that they were not reaching out. And that's kind of something I could only see after the fact, after everything that happened, after COVID kind of settled down, and now that, you know, relationships can possibly be mended in some way, and some have and some have not yet. But I can see how I was feeling this deep abandonment while also pulling away. And yeah, I don't know how it could have gone differently, but it was very hard. And also choosing to free birth, I kind of felt abandoned by the midwifery system. I really enjoyed my connections, my relationships, the support and service with the midwives I had for my first two births. And to not have someone who was like specifically focused on me, and that was their job, and they could give me, you know, an hour and a half of their time every 2 weeks or so, or every month in the earlier parts of pregnancy, to provide prenatal care for free. So while we have our shelter paid for and taken care of, you know, there's still a lot of other expenses, and we are still, our budget is pretty tight. And so for us in our situation, hiring a TBA, a birth attendant outside of the system, was, it just didn't feel like an option. So when I was in my head or heart feeling out the two options of a birth attendant or a free birth, for me, it was, free birth was just a clear choice. I also didn't know any birth attendants that I aligned with in my area. I do know some now. I think there's one woman that I could possibly feel comfortable having her in our birth space. But at the time, there was someone who was quite big on Instagram who was, you know, sometimes traveling up to my area. And when I got closer and felt it out, I felt, I just don't feel that energy right now. And I think this person is kind of, is changing and softening. And at that time, it was too fiery. It felt too harsh. I felt like I needed someone softer and more grounded in my birth space. And so I didn't find it. I can't say I looked very hard. And possibly if I had looked harder, I maybe would not have felt so abandoned. So I think the part of this feeling of abandonment was self-created. And some of it was just something I needed to go through and feel so that I could fully claim full self-responsibility, because that has been a theme in my life now and postpartum, especially as I start my business and start to offer work, is like, there's no more complaining. There's no more, you know, hoping that someone else is going to save me. There's no more, those two things have now, are so strong within me after like this cleanse of these deep emotional experiences in pregnancy and also in the birth with the decision that we made. And so again, another theme was setting boundaries. So if people were saying things or doing things that were hurtful, I was no longer afraid to say that I felt they were hurtful. And of course, there's a big learning curve in that. If one has never expressed hurt, you know, to others, then we need to learn to express it. And it's a learning curve. Sometimes we can come out and it can be too harsh and it can be hurtful back on the other side. Or we express our feelings and our hurt and there's a lot of anger and kind of like, well, you need to pay for this. So you need to be hurt back when we're expressing it. And so the past 2 years have been great work in that. And, but it's been for the better, learning to establish, the word boundaries is maybe, I don't know if it's the right word, the word that I would use. It's more, I think just a big part of establishing boundaries is self-understanding in our inner world of when someone is, it was when we feel hurt, just when we feel hurt, you know, whether someone else is doing it, whether we're doing it to ourselves in the way that we are interpreting their words and actions, just that in ourself, we're catching the hurt and then being able to express it. I think that is just the most important thing. Then whatever happens on the outside, whether you tell someone you can't do this or you can't do that, that kind of is a boundary, and I'm still navigating that. I think the key is that inner sense of, oh, this is what's happening inside. This person said this and I have this story about it, and now I feel hurt, and am I willing to be vulnerable and show that to the other person and give them a chance, right? Give them a chance. And if anyone wants more information about a system that I use to help navigate all these things on self-responsibility, I highly, highly, highly recommend the 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership. A book is where you can start, by Jim Dethmer, Diana Chapman, and Kaylee Warner Klemp. And I will be sharing more about these 15 commitments on the podcast. So if you don't feel like reading the book and you want to hear it from me, stay tuned because I will be diving into them on the podcast. So again, with this idea of the theme of the mother in my pregnancy, to not be, to be actually the most distant, and to be the most distant from my mother that I had ever been. And we've had our challenges, our moments of strife in our relationship. To not be close to her in my pregnancy was hard on the heart. It was hard. I'm also not very close with my mother-in-law, or I guess I would love to be closer and have a deeper relationship with her. And so holding both of these in my life was, in my pregnancy, it gets extra charge, right? If I have stories of kind of hurtness or victimhood about this situation, in pregnancy, it's going to be 100-fold. And that was hard to navigate. And so I did do some complaining, some mourning, some working it out with friends. But what I do want to share with anyone listening is that, you know, we can be told that we need community, that we have to have our family helping us, that mothers should help their daughters. And I think all of this is true. I think that in a healthy culture and community, the different generations are helping each other out. And also at the same time, sometimes that's not the truth. So, or the reality. Sometimes that's just not the reality. And your unique experience is going to have its unique challenges that are perfect for you, right? So, this is, you know, something that I want to talk about too, is just like having a quote unquote bad birth can be perfect for you. It can actually be the perfect birth for creating the future life and the future you, and raising your child in the way that you want. All of your prayers could be being answered through this birth that could be labeled a bad birth, a traumatic birth, or an imperfect birth. I recommend listening to Samantha's episode about her 2 C-sections and then her 2 home births outside of the system. She would not have chosen to do home births out of the system or to even get into birth work had she not had traumatic birth experiences. And of course, I don't think we need to go through suffering to grow. And that's what I wish on humans, and I think is coming, is that we don't need to suffer so much to grow and change and have our prayers answered. But it is all perfect in the divine sense. I'm not bypassing anything here. I know, and I don't know, because some of it I have not gone through myself, how huge it is. So leaning into free birth and choosing free birth, someone asked on my Instagram about free birth, how hard is it, you know, to actually make that choice. And like I said in the previous episode on this topic, I was wondering for a while before getting pregnant whether or not I would actually choose to free birth. And I thought I had to have the decision made before conception. And the decision became clearer and clearer and more clear as the pregnancy went on. And I did have some fears, but whenever I had a fear come up, like, okay, what are the different, you know, worst case scenarios? I didn't feel too much fear about it because I immediately reached out and did a first aid course with a midwife, and she was very reassuring. And we do have a hospital nearby, and I do have skills, and I do feel very connected with my body. So I can't say that I had fears and nervousness, but they weren't very strong. I'm also very lucky to be, you know, healthy, very lucky to be healthy. and have no extra complications for the birth. I actually find that I have other challenges, like not having, you know, very close relationships with my mom or mother-in-law, that other people don't have. So other people might have better relationships and better family support and community support or other ways and have difficult births, you know, or some people get all the bad cards in a moment, and that can happen too. And again, I do believe from a greater perspective, it's all perfect. But yeah, I wonder sometimes if people think like, oh, Emily's just lucky. She's just, you know, gets to free birth. And there's a lot of back work and research and inner work that goes behind the choice to free birth. And also there is a certain amount of luck and karma, whatever you would call it, that I am healthy and generally I give birth to healthy babies. And so leaning into free birth became more and more clear as the pregnancy went on. So baby Theo was born July 3rd. And in that whole month of June, there was almost no more worry. It's hard to say now, it's a year ago, but from what I remember, and if I feel it into it now, there was no more worry. That last month of pregnancy, I find, can be really special if we give it space. So I would love to see women stopping work at 7 months pregnant, at least 8 months pregnant. And you know, my baby was born pretty much just after the 40-week mark. So I had that extra time, but some babies come earlier. And so I think women really having space to let go and dream and go within and do art or be in the garden, all those kind of practices after, for their 8th and 9th month of pregnancy, likely for their whole last trimester, is a beautiful thing. I feel like the birth portal begins to open up a little bit. Our birth hormones start to flow. Our cervix might start to open. So physically we are beginning to open. Our joints are becoming more loose because the relaxin is flowing through the body. So really like our whole physical being is opening and softening. And I believe also our emotional being, our spiritual being, is our soul is opening and softening to be able to allow the process of birth to take over. And I think that experiencing this and allowing this whole process to happen in the month before birth helps the birth itself, right? We can wonder, well, what did you do in birth to have a great birth? But it's the whole preparation and the whole way that we do our pregnancy and the way that we live our life that will inform how we can let go in birth. And I remember seeing a friend, Santana, actually, who was on the podcast, telling her free birth story that in the last month, she was just kind of like so dreamy, just staring at the ceiling. And our brain doesn't work so well because, you know, physically we're sending a lot of the fats and omegas to our baby to feed our baby's brain. But I believe it's also because we're starting to check out of our conscious mind. And we're not meant to be thinking analytically, really. As we prepare for birth, we just need to let go. And so we might have our nesting instincts come like in the 8th month of pregnancy, 7th month. And then the 9th month is just letting go. And of course, everyone has different, you know, life and realities and different things that we need to be doing in pregnancy. Like Sam in the previous podcast shared, she was submitting her thesis for her master's at like 39, 40 weeks pregnant, which is wild. So again, that's where every unique experience is valid and perfect for that individual. Finally, I wanted to touch on hosting my own blessing way. This was kind of a big decision. The blessing way was held early June. So baby Theo was born in July, early June, and I did it that late because really I think a blessing way is best held in the 7th month, more or less, of pregnancy as a woman kind of tips over into her 3rd trimester. And it was because I was teaching at the school for my kids, the pod that I was hosting, and we ended everything in that first week of June, and then I did the Blessing Way that weekend. And again, this was a theme with the pregnancy, was that I had this feeling of like, I just wish that there were women who could host this for me, who could arrange it for me. I wish I had a friend who would be willing to do it. And I had done it for a friend for her pregnancy a year before, but she now had a toddler, you know, and was swamped and didn't have the energy to host and or to lead and host and organize a Blessing Way. And so again, for me, a big theme in the past year has been letting go of expectations, letting go of wanting help from people who don't want to help me, right? Again, we have this culture who tells us, oh, we need to help new mothers, and we should be helping new mothers more. And if you don't have the help and you don't have people around you who are willing to help, then there's no point wallowing about it. No point. So then we get to choose. What do we do? Well, there's no Blessing Way, or do I want to host my own Blessing Way? So I hosted my own Blessing Way. I told women what to do. I arranged some of the prayers. I arranged some of the rituals. I told people to bless me. And there were a lot of us. It was a big group. I think there were 15 people who were there. I had some teenagers. I had friends. I invited my friends' mothers. So I had grandmothers. That was very important to me, to have that presence. My family was invited. My sisters live in Ottawa. But again, there was quite a bit of tension around so many things that they did not come. And in the end, it was perfect. I felt tired, and I had a little bit of resentment. And if I decided I could just let go of the resentment that I didn't have someone else doing this for me and I could just do it and enjoy it, then I really did. And I'm proud of myself for that. I'm really proud. And the women who came were grateful to experience a Blessing Way. They said, wow, I've only been to baby showers. I've never been to a Blessing Way that's more intentional. This was beautiful. Thank you so much. And, you know, that's part of my job in this community. And I can't escape my purpose. I just can't. And so this is also now, you know, something that I would like to offer for women, is to help them organize and to lead their Blessing Ways. Because I just love it. I love it all. And I loved doing my own. And I'm glad that I had it. I had originally asked everyone to dress in red and white. And at the last minute, I had this blue dress I wanted to wear. So a few days before the event, I said, can everyone just wear blue? And so we're all wearing blue in the pictures. And of course, I had a beautiful baby boy. And not to say that, you know, blue can't be a girl. My eldest daughter loves wearing blue. She left for school all in blue today. But I found that interesting. And I also just felt very connected with water and also with fire in his pregnancy. But we were all wearing blue. Lastly, I wanted to talk about the moon charting. And this ties back into the emotional work, because in the pregnancy, those emotional waves did come around the full moon and the new moon. And I find the energy around the full moon and the new moon can be quite different. But with not taking the pregnancy test, I did look up my due date on the internet. And I also made a list of the different moons. So I made a list from the full moon and the new moons. How many? I have the check marks here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yep. So the new moon in which he was conceived, baby Theo, was on October 6th. And then the 10th, so if that's the first new moon, the 10th new moon was June 28th. And he was born on July 3rd, just after that. They say pregnancy is about 10 moons. And I love this calendar. I love this calendar. I love a calendar that's made by the moon. And so this is something that I am looking to actually create and offer for women. And I would like to offer kind of full moon and new moon support for pregnant women virtually, kind of around the, I offer in-person mother, baby, and pregnant women circles in person. But I would also love to have monthly calls where we can work through the emotional, spiritual, psychological side of pregnancy following the moon calendar. And so I'm thinking that's something that could be coming in the fall, possibly next winter, spring. But if you're interested in that, reach out to me and I will be starting to build a list of women who are interested in that. Even if you're thinking of becoming pregnant, let me know so that I can keep you on the list, because I would love to be able to work with women from conception to postpartum. So the program would be 13 moons, which would be the moon before you conceive, and then 2 moons after. So that like little 40-day postpartum period. I think that's about it for today. I'm glad it felt a bit more concise. Again, don't hesitate to reach out on the socials or to my website. Rate and comment, review the podcast is very helpful. And stay tuned for more. Have the most beautiful day.